few weeks ago, it was half term and I took a week off and got stuck into some home decorating. And for about a year now, our room has been in a half finished state, which is quite unlike me in terms of decorating jobs. So I took the week and I got on with the painting, finished it, and the room felt transformed. From a half-finished room to one that was completed and had new pictures up and plants in the room, and it's felt just transformed. And there's that sense of satisfaction, isn't there, with decorating at home. Certainly causes me less stress than DIY tasks, but yeah, this particular one was without too much stress, which is great. But transformation. And maybe a gardens at the moment, you've got ideas about how to develop your garden and improve it and make it just feel transformed. And spring helps with that, doesn't it? As we get the first cut in, as we get the flower beds done, and as the crocuses are popping up, suddenly life is around us. That's what's wonderful about spring. I don't know if you heard or read any of the stories about what some people have been doing to transform their gardens during lockdown, putting in permanent office or study spaces, cabins at the back of their garden, or as I heard one parent for their son's school project doing, making a Saxon hut. Wow, fair play. It looks quite impressive. I'm sure it gets the top marks for the homework, and it really did transform this individual's garden. We love to see transformation and be a part of it, because there's something in us that loves to see change for the better. But we love it even more, don't we, in our lives. And when we hear stories of people being transformed, I read one recently about an addict being transformed by the loving community of a church through the support of Christians Against Poverty and addiction workshops, and coming to faith and being freed from the enslavement of the addiction of drugs. Wow. But often, maybe they're far and few between. We don't hear them as much as we would love. And even though as a church, we're committed to having this vision to see lives, communities and culture transformed by the gospel. Sometimes we read stories and hear them and we long for more. Well, today, I trust that we'll be encouraged by a story of transformation as we read Luke 13. And as we do so, we can see how Jesus speaks and teaches us so much about what is at the heart of it. So we're going to read from chapter 13 of Luke, from verse 10 to 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is Jesus. He loves to cause a stir, but more than that, he loves to bring transformation and then teach people the misunderstandings that they have and pour light on the truth of what his purposes are. And so as we think about this, maybe certain questions come to mind. And for me, the first few questions were that this passage raised were about suffering and evil spirits. Does this mean that if you're disabled or have an infirmity or illness, that it's from an evil spirit? Because that's what we read. There's a crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Was this woman disabled because there was an evil spirit oppressing her? Well, it seems to be the case. And through the Gospels, we have a few examples of this, where Jesus heals a mute man in chapter 10 by casting out this mute spirit from him. But we also have lots of examples in the Gospels of people that are sick and unwell, and there's no connection to an evil spirit, and Jesus heals them. and passages like John 10, where we find that a man born blind, people assumed the reason for that was because of the sin of his parents or his sin in his life. And Jesus corrects them, says, no, it's nothing to do with the sin of the parents. It's nothing to do with the morality of this individual. It's a part of the brokenness of the world that we live in. It's the brokenness of the bodies that we have. And it's actually going to be used to display Jesus's power and Jesus's purpose and to bring glory to God. So I want to say from the start that, our illnesses, infirmities, disabilities, the brokenness of that many of us have, that maybe you have, is not connected to evil spirits. There are instances where that may be the case, but it becomes very apparent when that's the case. This is an example of it, and we'll see what we can learn from it. But Jesus has power to transform our sicknesses and infirmities, whether oppressed by evil spirits or not. That was the question that came to my mind first. The second one was, is this transformation only possible because Jesus was there in person? Because we don't see this kind of thing happening lots. Maybe it was just a back then thing, not a everyday today thing. Well, the Holy Spirit is in us, and by his power, we can do greater things than even that we read of in the Gospels. That's what we understand from the New Testament. We see examples of God's power at work in healing, miracles, and in other ways through the book of Acts and through the history of the church. So no, this isn't limited to just Jesus's days. We can expect and pray for healing today, and we've got stories of that within our community. But it is right to read this in its context. But actually, the main emphasis of this passage is not about healing on one level, or about the power of healing today, or about evil spirits. It's actually about the meaning of the Sabbath. And this is what Jesus is able to shed light on to those present in the synagogue. So as we work through this, we're going to see that Jesus actually is challenging the convention of the Sabbath as he does this. He is unsettling people, challenging the status quo and addressing an issue of justice. We've just finished a series on justice, haven't we? And we've learnt lots about it. I know I have as I've been studying and listening to the series. And what we find here is Jesus standing up for a vulnerable person, someone that is disabled, someone that is also influenced by some evil spirit, and making her right, bringing her into a place of freedom and liberation, justice. And as we explore this, we get to again grow in understanding what is going on in this instance and how that can impact our lives as we pray for transformation in our lives and communities and culture. So we're going to start with the healing. Verse 10 and 11, we find this Sabbath, this Jewish holy day. Jesus is teaching in a synagogue. He's the keynote speaker. The crowds are gathered to hear him because he's developed quite a reputation for his healing miracles, for his teaching, for his authority that he speaks and conducts himself with. And so the synagogue is packed. It's full. Jesus is teaching and is interrupted because a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 long years, we read. She's bent over. She would have been unable to work. She's a cripple. She wouldn't have had a husband and children. This is someone that would have been on the edge of society, we expect, ostracized, and yet she attends this synagogue. Was it just because Jesus was there? Maybe. Was it actually her synagogue that she went to every week, and for 18 years she'd have been praying and seeking God to intervene in her life and bring healing? Maybe. We don't know, but it could well be that she was a faithful Jew that sought God and help, but was deeply impacted by this condition, by this evil oppression that had a physical outworking. Well, whatever the situation, she's here, and Jesus sees her. And as he sees her, he calls her forward. And so just imagine it. She's towards the back, probably on the floor. She picks herself up. She kind of walks forward in a only as a cripple can, with real effort and challenge. Everyone is looking. She pulls herself to the front in whatever way possible. She feels humiliated. She feels concerned. What will Jesus do? Will he judge her? Will he heal her? Will he have compassion? Will he be like others have and kind of keep his distance? This is what happens. Not only does he see her, he calls her forward. Midway through his message, his sermon, he's interrupted, and yet he focuses on this live example and demonstration of what he is saying. And he says, "Woman, you're set free from your infirmity." The words are clear, packed with love and power. He puts his hands on her and immediately she straightens up and praises God because she has been healed. We notice a few things here. This crippled, bent over, this image of injustice embodied in this woman becomes an image of justice as she is straightened out, as she stands and can walk and can praise God because her life has been transformed. And so she's been set free from the oppression of the injustice that is manifested in her body, the being bound by Satan. She is released. She is freed. She is liberated. This is a story of justice in the heart of the synagogue. What a reason for the whole congregation to praise God, to recognize that Jesus has done an amazing thing. What a wonderful service. Not only is Jesus present and there's great teaching and prayer and a gathering, there's a healing. So what happens? This disabled woman who's been oppressed by an evil spirit has become delivered, saved, rescued, healed, surely fulfilling the purpose of the Sabbath. This is what the synagogue ruler says. He's indignant because Jesus has done it on a Sabbath. He says, "There are 6 days for work. This is work. Go and do that Monday to Saturday." Or the Jewish day was likely to be a Saturday for the Sabbath. He challenges Jesus. Says, "You should not heal on a Sabbath." Dumbstruck. Many are thinking, "What?" And yet others seem to agree with this position, because we hear that Jesus calls many hypocrites and there are opponents in verse 17 that we read of. And so Jesus speaks into this. There is this public disapproval. The opportunity that the synagogue leader had was to affirm, was to celebrate, was to lead the congregation in worship, in praise to glory. And instead of doing that, he steals this moment of praise and glory and disapproves. He is indignant. He criticizes. He says, "No, this is a wrong thing. This is a bad thing to happen on the Sabbath. We can't maybe imagine it. Why on earth does he do that?" Yet maybe you, like me, are tempted to minimize how and when God can work, how and when and what should happen on a Sunday. We limit God. We box him in into our service structures and into our understanding of how he can operate. And this synagogue leader felt opposition by Jesus. Jesus was stealing the show. His ego was more important, and he was about to put his foot back into the driver's seat, his gas on the pedal, and say, "Look, this is my synagogue and this is how things work." So what is his issue? Why can't healings happen on the Sabbath? Well, Jesus answers that question for us, because this public disapproval in verse 14 is challenged by Jesus publicly, and he positively defies the ruler of the synagogue. He says this, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" We want to say, yes, of course. This is the logic that Jesus uses. He uses what's a kind of lesser to greater argument. If then, A bit like, if Joss, my youngest daughter, can tidy her room, then Ethan, my oldest son, should be able to tidy his room. Yet somehow that doesn't always work out. If gyms and nightclubs and pubs are allowed to open with the easing of lockdown, then pretty much everything else should be allowed to, shouldn't it? And by that stage, churches. Thankfully, they are. So a lesser to a greater. And here we get this image of an ox or a donkey would need to drink water on a Sabbath. And to do that, you would untie it, walk it to the water trough and allow the donkey to drink. But there were lots of rules around what you could and couldn't do and what was work and what wasn't work. And one example is filling water from a well and carrying a bucket of water to your donkey was classed as work. You couldn't do it. You couldn't carry. And so instead, you would untie your donkey, take it to the trough, which was full of water. And so here, Jesus says, well, if we can do that for an animal that we need and care for our work and livelihood, then why on earth should a woman, this daughter of Abraham, not be untied from the bondage that Satan has oppressed her with and healed on a Sabbath, receiving the water of life, as it were? Why on earth a lesser to greater argument? It beggars belief, doesn't it? It's so obvious to us. And yet in the culture, in the context, with the customs and traditions, this was an issue for the leader of the synagogue and for many within the synagogue. Public disapproval followed by this public defiance that Jesus rightly challenges them with. You're happy to untie a donkey, but you're not unhappy to untie a daughter of Abraham from the bondage of Satan. How do we major on the wrong things? How do we overcome our negative tendencies and criticisms of how we think God may or may not be working? Or our criticisms to others? You see, the answer's clear. By seeing people as Jesus did. Did you notice that phrase? A daughter of Abraham. From a woman who's a cripple, who's on the edge of society, she's being given a great title, a daughter of Abraham. That's how Jesus sees her and everyone in that congregation. And because of that, she has the right to be healed on a Sunday, on a Sabbath, on a holy Jewish Sabbath day. And because of that, he makes this point. This is what the meaning of the Sabbath should be about, bringing deliverance, healing, rescue, freedom to that which is bound. As the donkey is untied, the daughter of Abraham should be untied from the oppression and the slavery of Satan. Rescue, liberation. This is what the passage is about. And so suddenly this woman's life has been transformed. She's been proclaimed to be valuable before Jesus, a part of the people of God, a part of the people of Israel. She has a place. She fits in within society now. No longer does this disability and this spiritual oppression keep her away, but she's included, she's welcomed. And there's a challenge there for us. How welcoming are we as a church? How ready are we to receive those that might be on the edges of our society? How ready are we to be a diverse church full of different people, a bit messy, instead of a tidy congregation of similar cultured Christians? Do we love freedom and transformation more than the status quo, the way things have been done? Do we love and allow spontaneity and interruptions rather than just structure and our plans? That's a challenge to me, because Jesus did. He interrupted this service with the very purpose of the service: liberation, freedom, celebration, a recognition of what the Sabbath is about. There's over 130,000 citizens of Hong Kong that will be planning their migration to the UK this year. Over the next 5 years, some 500,000 or more are likely to. gain citizenship in the UK. The challenge will be how ready are the church and society to receive large numbers of those from a different culture and ethnicity. We have an opportunity as a church to be Hong Kong ready, as it were, to be ready to receive those coming into our communities who are different, who have got different backgrounds, but yet are welcomed and have a right to a life in society like all of us. And this is an opportunity for us as a church and within our communities to demonstrate the kingdom value of welcome, of hospitality and support and care to those that may on the surface be different and may likely cause a stir in our societies as there's anti-immigration talk and defending of our employment opportunities arises. We have a chance, and there is a call on the church in the UK to be ready and be the church, the people of God. Whatever culture, whatever ethnicity, whatever illness and infirmity, whatever colour, justice is about welcome. It's about love in action and support and care and bringing freedom to those who maybe haven't had it like ourselves. What an opportunity. And so just one example there, but we have the healing miracle. We have the hypocrites that Jesus rightly challenges. How are we hypocritical? How do we need to challenge those issues in our hearts? And then finally, I want to finish by looking at verse 17 and the humiliation. Verse 17, when Jesus said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. We see a woman humiliated at the start, who then is transformed and honoured as a daughter of Abraham, who is free. Justice has come this Sabbath day. We see one woman that was bound, that almost symbolizes Israel, who is then freed and liberated as Jesus' desire is for all of Israel. And yet we also see the opponents, the religious leader who seemingly was in a position of honour, but by the end of this account is humiliated, has brought humiliation on himself and his teammates, as it were, by being openly disapproving and indignant at this transformation miracle. All his opponents were humiliated. They brought it upon themselves for their lack of humility, for their hypocrisy. And instead, we have two groups. We have a group that are delighted and are worshipping and praising God with this woman, this daughter of Abraham. And we have a group that are disapproving and critical and negative. Where do you sit? Where do I sit? Actually, we can be in both camps. We can be those that disapprove, criticize, and question when God works in ways that we don't expect. And we can be a bit like the woman, maybe broken, in need of rescue, feeling humiliation, feeling need for help. And the good news is that Jesus can help us in our humiliation in whichever group we're in. He is the one that heals. He is the one that became bent over and crooked for us on a cross, who was humiliated so that we don't have to remain in a place of humiliation. He is the one that died on a cross, broken for us, took the injustice upon himself, enabling our freedom and our liberation. He rose again after 3 days, declaring healing that is available for all if only we would humble ourselves, if only we would repent and believe. And so the challenge for us is very clear. Jesus calls us forward. Will we, like the woman, go forward in humility to Jesus? Will we accept that we need his rescuing help, his liberating power in our lives? Will we respond to his healing touch when he says, you can be set free? He says, follow me. Will we follow him? Will we respond to the one that became humble and humiliated for us on a cross so that we could receive honor and freedom and liberation? maybe you need to repent of a disapproving spirit, a cynical attitude to what you see in church and society. Maybe you need to be lifted up today because you're hurting and you're physically infirm and you haven't been healed. But you do know the spiritual healing that Jesus offers. Maybe you need to respond to Jesus calling your name today. He calls us all forward. He calls us to move towards him. He calls us to take a step closer and be healed. And the spiritual healing is a promise that Jesus has given us. We may remain with our physical infirmities, but spiritually, he has won the battle and he frees you and can free you today. If you don't know his healing power, why not accept it? Why not follow him and repent and believe? Trust the Saviour who can bring justice in your life and is bringing justice in society as he has made available for Jew and Gentile every day of the week, not just Monday through. The Sabbath, the meaning of the Sabbath, it's about transformation, healing power, rest, liberation. That's what this woman experienced and symbolizes. And that's what we can experience and offer to the broken world that we live in. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that you oppose the proud, but give grace to the humble. Help us to humble ourselves before you, to repent and believe afresh today, to say sorry for our disapproving attitudes, to say sorry for our cynicism, and to look for the ways that you call us to challenge the status quo, to challenge the conventions of religion, and to not be hypocrites, but instead to be humble, faith-filled servants, to celebrate when you work and bring transformation to others. Lord God, would you bring it to us? We need it. So we thank you. We praise you. You are our healer. You are our saviour, our liberator. In Jesus' name, amen.